Al Albert's Celebrity Showcase in here. Good morning. How are you all? Great. Welcome to the final show of 2017.
Say it isn't so, Joe.
I know, the final show of 2017, and we get to say goodbye to the dumpster fire of a year that was 2017.
God, let's get beyond it.
Yeah, good Lord. Well, good morning, everybody. Very nice to have you here, and we know you're cold. We know that it's bitterly cold. Ugh. Out, and but we hope that we can be your company for a little while and talk about what's going on, wrap up some things. We have an amazing panel for you today, just incredible. We're going out with a bang. Calendar year 2017.
No pressure.
Oh, well, come on. This is just a brilliant group of people here. Really, so let me go around the table and introduce everybody. First of all, a reminder that you can be a part of the program by writing to us, panel@wamc.org. And for the most part, we love your letters. Rosemary Armeo is here. She is. She was with us Wednesday and Thursday. And in a few hours, she'll be on a plane going back to
Sarajevo.
Yes. Wow. Yes. Wow.
It looks much warmer there.
So what is New Year's Eve in Sarajevo like?
We go to a concert and then fireworks in the main square and dinner and a spa the next day. I mean, lunch and a spa the next day.
Not bad.
That's a tough life. Wow.
That's not bad at all.
It is. Yes, it's no longer quite the wartime footing that you recall.
Well, good. Well, we've loved having you, and as do the listeners, of course, with our inbox is filled with people sending you.
Well, the next time I come, I'll come here because I get a much warmer reception here than in my house, where it's like, did you take the garbage out?
Malcolm Nance joins us, counterterrorism expert. He is an MSNBC commentator. We are thrilled that he is one of us. And good morning, sir. Very
good
nice
morning.
To have you
glad
here.
To be here. Yeah, Rosemary. Rosemary's jet setting and wandering around the world.
We're comparing flight schedules and mileage in the past. It's fun.
You know, by the way, and I'm sorry for interrupting the introduction, but just to check in with you, because it's been some time since you and I have talked at length. You still hate the TSA?
Oh my God, more than ever.
Okay, no. All right.
Does anybody like them? I mean, now it's like the whole world. You still like them? You still think they protect you?
Do you have global entry?
No.
That's why you should hate the TSA. If you got global entry, you won't even see the TSA.
I
get through customs in 30 seconds.
Only if they want you to. Can she get global entry?
Everybody should get global entry in and out. You don't even interact with the TSA agent.
You
hand them a slip of paper and you walk out.
They're coercing people into it, and the lines with the regular people have gotten much worse since that.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's because they're bullies there.
No, I'm one of the people.
All right. Now's a perfect time to welcome Judith to the program. Judith Henke is the former regional administrator for the Environmental Protection Agency, you know, back when we had one. And it's great that Judith is here, and I can't think of a better way to end the year. Good morning. How
good
are
morning.
You?
Good morning. Great.
Thank you very much for being
with us. I don't have strong views on the TSA. But I tend to agree with you.
What were you just saying? Post and kill New York, Washington. That's your circle, right?
Post and kill Washington, New York City. That's the only place I go.
Yeah.
It's a weird loop.
It is an odd loop.
What about
loop,
Malcolm?
Yes.
Did you introduce him?
I did.
Yeah, I did.
Were you sleeping?
I wonder where I was.
Hey, wake up. Wake
talking
up, Alan.
About when I was in Sarajevo, fireworks were very different.
A little less of an oh my God than a new one and ah, right?
You had to wear a helmet and body armor when I was there.
Well, good. Alan Shartok, I was going to make a Central Avenue joke, but I won't. Alan Shartok is with us. Good morning, Alan. How are you, sir?
Good morning. I have a little bit of news for everybody, and that is in the lockbox. $520,000 in about a week's time, thanks to all of you. It makes me want to cry. And we really are so appreciative for everybody putting in. We'd love to get to that $1 million mark before New Year's Day. That would be unbelievable. It would be unbelievable, but things have happened before. And you guys are terrific out there. You are such. You know, when you said to everybody you want to be part of this, you know, you can write to us this morning. you want to be part of this. You're part owner of this radio station, and you've done it, folks. And can you imagine $520,000 right now by people who went to WAMC.org and just put something in or call that magic number, 1-800-323-9262. And, you know, I really do believe that we've done it again because of you, and we thank you.
Well, I have an idea on how to up the contributions to the lockbox. I want to embarrass Joe for a moment.
Oh, God.
New Year's Eve, Joe is having an important birthday. We won't say the number.
Yeah. No, say the number.
Okay, so on New Year's Eve, Joe is turning 50.
Only say the number because I can't believe
He's such a baby, 50.
How did that happen?
Well,
and you know those bastards at the AARP
start sending you letters.
Already,
can he say that? Even if he's old, can he say that?
It's in the dictionary.
Back to my tribute to Joe. So since I was fortunate to start doing this show with all of you a few months ago, the number one question I get is Joe as nice as he seems?
And that's the number one question I get.
I always say I always say no. He's nicer. And I think that Joe is in, you know, people's morning routines. And I think a great way to pay tribute to his presence in everyone's morning is to make a year-end gift to WAMC in his honor for his birthday, because he does not want to be showered with gifts.
No.
But, you know, you could pick a number, maybe his birthday number or one with more zeros, and make a year-end gift for Joe's birthday.
You are so articulate.
Nice.
Well, and you are right. One could not begin to say how nice this guy is.
Really? It's ridiculous. And he reads all the books. And the Donahue on Donahue interview. I mean, we're so lucky to have Joe
really
in the Capital
true.
District.
He really is the nicest interviewer I've heard on radio.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much. You know,
You're red.
Oh, yeah. But I have to say that... considering this is, I'm entering the end of my life now.
hey, how do you think that makes me feel?
No. It only gets better.
I somehow feel like you're equal at this point, I must say. But there we go.
Happy birthday, Joe.
Well, thank you very, very much. You know, so when I was 25, I started here.
Quarter century.
You believe that? So a century.
Do I believe it? I hired you.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying a quarter. I've been alive half a century, and a quarter of that has been here.
That means you're happy.
That's very weird and very cool. Thank you, Judith. That was very, very sweet.
Chain lock to the job.
Have you ever had a job for 25 years?
Oh, 25 months, and it's like you're saying, wow, she's stayed a long time.
Well, thank you very much. And yes, I can think of no better way no better gift than for folks to give to the Tower Fund and to the Lockbox and do whatever they can do this morning. That would be lovely. All right, let's get started with what's going on in the world.
After that happy opening, on to Russia.
Yeah. Well, what more do you want? There's a lot going on, so let's get to it. And I was going through the topics last night of what we could, you know, possible things that we could talk about. And I thought, well, we have such wonderful people here that we'll try to give somebody a little gift to everybody to talk about things. And so let us go with I included an article called Trump Russia, A Year in Review, and it brings us of where we are right now.
Makes us look very bad.
The Trump administration looking at where we are when it comes to the Russia investigation. The article that I was reading last night was from Vox, which looked sort of a chronology of what's been happening. And I have to say, as you read it, you can't believe all of these things that are swirling around at one time. And, of course, the end of the article says these are a lot of questions that we don't have the answers to. So, Malcolm.
Yeah.
You've got some answers, don't you?
You know, this is fascinating. I wrote a book analyzing the entire Trump-Russia operation 15 months ago. And we're just really getting into it.
Malcolm, can you remind us of the name
of
the book?
The name of the book is The Plot to Hack America.
Available wherever
he needs help talking about.
Yes, and well, it's just been going on so long.
Autographed by Joe Donahue for and your contribution to WAMC.
But we've been at this, I mean, it was 15 months ago since my book was published and in stores. And it really started coming to a head almost 2 years ago in March when we found out that the Democratic National Committee headquarters had been hacked by the Russians and that the Russians had been in their service for over a year. So this is a very, very long-term operation. And the investigation, which was started by Mueller earlier this year, almost also will be going on a year in a few months, is just getting to the tip of the iceberg. And the people who have been indicted or pled guilty thus far, Mike Flynn, George Papadopoulos, Paul Manafort, and Rick Gates, they were considered the low-hanging fruit. So this year, 2018, if really 2017 was a dumpster fire. Let's just all put that on the table, especially in the Trump-Russia campaign, principally because of the obfuscation from the White House. Donald Trump saying Barack Obama illegally wiretapped another president of the United States or an incoming president of the United States at his home in Trump Tower, which turned out to be one of yet another series of pathological lies. I think Washington Post is up to 1,600 actually documented lies in which the truth is just very clearly out there. Whoa, 2018, it's going to be a lot more of the same, only I think it's going to be a lot different for Donald Trump.
Do you find the absurdity? I mean, there are stories in the news that you look at and you don't know whether to laugh or cry or both. But the one I was reading yesterday, last night, was about Russia warning the United States not to meddle in their election.
Yeah, that's absolutely fascinating. And I can't recall who the commentator. Oh, it was John Cipher from the Cipher Brief, ex-CIA officer who came out on Twitter and said, well, if there were, we would like to see a free and fair election in Russia so we could meddle in it. There are no free and fair elections in Russia. Russia is essentially a dictatorship. With a completely engineered electorate and engineered elections. And so, you know, we don't do these things, but it's ironic. The irony is just pouring off the walls that Russia, but it's part and parcel to Vladimir Putin and Donald Trump's strategy to re-engineer the truth. And unlike in the old days of the Soviet Union, where we knew everything coming out of Russia was a lie, we have our own technically fifth column in the United States supporting Russia's positions, supporting the operation, the information warfare operation Russia carried out against us, and it's right in the Oval Office. Absolutely fascinating. Question is, will it survive another year of sunlight?
So what's been done to stop it? I mean, that's the big danger that Trump said the other day famously to the New York Times that, oh, this whole Russia investigation makes us look bad. I actually agree with him. Not that we're investigating him, but that we know about it and it continues. That there's no step has been made to stop it. He continues to say there's no collusion. In that interview with the New York Times, he said it 6 times.
16. And yet,
15.
Times, right. And then you look at what Vox did, which, you know, as a journalist, I like to think that's what's going to put it together. People just hear little bits and pieces. You put it all together, and there is a tremendous amount of evidence building of real collusion. And we are listening to the president just downplay that. That scares me. And still, that base, look at the polls, we're from 1/3 to 40% of the population, still believes there's nothing to it and that even what we're talking about right here is the liberal media beating up on the president.
Well, you know, we always get this, and I've been getting it all year. Where's the evidence? Where's the evidence?
Yeah, I hate that.
Let me tell you something, and I've said this many times before. The information that started this investigation was a national counterintelligence investigation. One of our allied intelligence agencies had found American citizens in direct communications with foreign intelligence officers. They notified the Director of National Intelligence, Director of CIA, and that's why they got FISA warrants Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act warrants, which, by the way, takes away all your rights under the Constitution if they get a warrant on you. And we were monitoring Americans who were in, not collusion, I hate the word collusion, in conspiracy with foreign agents to damage, change, or affect an outcome in the American electoral process. What we know now is nothing compared to what Robert Mueller knows, because that what he has is intelligence. Intelligence is information you're never going to hear about. What he's doing is turning it into evidence, which brought down the National Security Advisor of the United States is now a convicted felon by his own admission. One of his deputies, who was part of the team coordinating with Russia, is now a convicted felon. The top two, the campaign advisor and his deputy, are under indictment for this. If that's the tip of the iceberg, I can't imagine what the iceberg's going to look like.
Well, the problem, Malcolm, is that this is coming from you. And you may not be an enemy of the people, such as we are, but you're in intelligence, and you are being undermined and diluted and put down as well. Faith in all of our institutions is under attack, because that's the way the president's seen to attack the evidence against him.
Yeah, but this
And it's working.
But it's a freight train, okay? This is literally I refer to it as a wood chipper of justice. There is no way out of this thing. The only way out that we can find is that people below the president were doing this without his knowledge.
So let me ask you a question about, we only have a second, but sure. Last night did this famous New York Times, by now famous New York Times interview. Yeah.
On the golf course.
And after
they put white trucks up so that you couldn't take a picture of him on the golf course.
And what I really want to know is what does he do? Because I think he has a devilish aspect to him. What is he really trying to do by making some of these remarks that he made? To wit, Mueller is really going to exonerate him, basically, and he has great faith in Mueller. Is that because he wants to pull the rug out from under Mueller, or even insert the idea that this is all a fix?
We'll be back. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Man, do we have a panel. Alan Chartok, Judith Henk, Malcolm Nance, Rosemary Armeo, and we welcome your letters, panel at WAMC.org. We heard from everybody on Russia except for Judith, so let me go to you, and then we'll go to some letters, too, as to what you make of the year in Russia and Donald Trump.
So I think Mueller, it doesn't matter to him what the tweets are, what everything. He's very professional and
very
precise,
focused.
And he's looking for criminal violations.
But do you think he's reading them?
Getting
madder and madder.
I don't think he's getting madder and madder. I think probably his staff monitoring all of that, because it's giving him some leads.
Yeah,
that's kind of been the foolishness of it all. But I think Mueller obviously is going to come in with a very narrow and important series of indictments and convictions. He's not necessarily going to tell the American people what the whole story is, because that's not his role. So that's why the congressional investigations, which I never really put a lot of stock into, are important if the House flips in November, because we need, I remember after 9/11 and the congressional investigation, and a friend of mine worked on that congressional staff, they put out a book. In plain English, where you could sit and read the commission report. And some people take issue with what their findings were, but we're going to need the book. We're going to need the narrative so we understand the full story. So those November midterms are important. And I think having Jerry Nadler of Manhattan chairing the committee rather than that Devin Nunes.
It's
a book is nice. An indictment against him would be better.
I'll tell you,
I think we're going to get both.
We might.
House Intelligence Committee, sign them off. They are worthless.
House, yeah.
They
the
are
Senate,
literally
unless
working.
Unless Judith says
unless
flip.
We flip.
Yeah, Nadler,
yeah, but right
Adam
now
Schiff.
They are working.
Adam Schiff, yeah.
They are working in cooperation with
so
the
right.
White
well,
House.
Well, we know that. We can't
cover
staff.
Up everything.
We caught that guy in the bushes up there. Nunes.
Yeah. Well, Devin Nunes. You know, I actually tweeted this out to, about Devin Nunes and Jim Jordan, who is another congressman that was just saying, let's dismantle the FBI right now.
Yes.
You know, obstruction of justice does apply to members of Congress. Mm. If they find out in the course of the investigation that they are actively trying to de-engineer any findings, such as Nunes's information he was given by White House staff that supposedly said Obama was wiretapping people. That's obstruction of justice. They, too, can be charged as part of the broader conspiracy. And it's pretty clear Mueller's going after conspiracy, racketeering, influence, and corrupt organizations.
So I have a question for all of you. In your heart of hearts, mind of mind, because we knew that the tapes are what did Nixon in. There was the smoking gun. You really do need a smoking gun here. So you need somebody to flip on the president and say, I told him that this is, I went up to the Russians and we're going to do all of that.
MF.
I'm sorry.
Are his initials MF?
Yeah. And MF.
Yes,
Junior.
And it's his
and
name.
Junior, yeah.
So in your minds, in your collective minds, do you believe that he
I like
is
the double one.
Yeah, I like that too.
That we're going to find it. That there is a smoking gun.
Look, okay. I only spent decades in the intelligence community.
Right, you did.
There's stuff out there you're never going to see because we never turn it over to the Justice Department unless an American citizen is involved in a crime. And when it goes to justice and they get those FISA warrants, you're done. There's nothing about your life. Even this Justice Department under Mueller, he has, look, you're not going to be hearing raw audio cuts of the recordings of an American talking to ex-FSB or Rush ex-KGB officers. But transcripts could come out in the course of the investigation when they start indicting people. Whatever it was, I mean, we talked about Michael Flynn before. Michael Flynn has flipped, but he's not the most important person. Right now, that's two people, KT McFarland and Hope Hicks. KT McFarland was at Mar-a-Lago and was sort of the stenographer that was passing on orders, according to Michael Flynn's indictment, from, quote, a very senior transition official to Michael Flynn about his what he was going to do with the Russians. That person can only be Mike Pence. There was no other senior person
there. But he never knows anything.
At the time. The second one was Hope Hicks. She's the director of communications at the White House. She was on Air Force One when they sat down and, quote unquote, conspired to make up a cover story about Donald Trump Jr.'s coordination with the Russians in where he was told the Russians have information about Hillary Clinton. Those two things right there, spread apart by 6 months on activities that occurred a year before, literally, those two ladies have only one option, tell the truth or go to prison.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Malcolm has this great, emphatic, definitive, authoritative voice.
Spy,
and
baby.
Yet, I know, and yet, on the other side, all it would take from Trump, he says he won't, but, you know, he says a lot of things,
is a
pardon. And and he even could get rid of Sessions and put a new attorney general in, and all of that goes away, Malcolm.
Mike Flynn right now is under indictment, has been convicted.
For a crime he's going to get 5 years for under the deal.
Right, and it could be pardoned for
less
that.
Than
however,
that because I think
he's also under investigation by the state of Pennsylvania and the special counsel for trying to abduct a U.S. resident and extradite him illegally to Turkey for $15 million. Yeah. That's a state charge. That's a local county charge.
It's
okay,
kind of bad.
A conspiracy to kidnap?
And there's a Democratic.
There's no way out
AG
for Mike Flynn.
But to speak for the White House here, I'm not quite as large as Sarah, but that has nothing to do with Donald Trump. That's bad, and we support crimes, you know, being prosecuted against people. It has nothing to do with the White House.
Yeah, well, you can say that. However, every word that he said or heard to Donald Trump will have to be part of his allocution. And that's what's going on now, and that's why the White House counsels are coming up with this strategy of call Mike Flynn a liar.
And by the way,
Malcolm, I don't even know what an allocution is.
Confess.
Stand up and you say, I did this. Okay, yeah. Okay, so, but the main thing is here, somebody just said, well, it's just 5 years, but let me just say, 5 years in prison is a long time, and nobody wants to go to prison for 5 years.
Yep, federal penitentiary.
Well, one other quick point. You know who else was on the plane when that misleading statement was developed? Sean Spicer.
That's interesting.
I don't think
he's
been interviewed. He doesn't have any loyalty to Trump. He's
Writes
been humiliated.
Priebus,
but Spicy may come through here. I think Hope Hicks has to tell the truth, but she's going to hold back. Spicy won't.
There's multiple avenues to the truth anyone that lies, this guy has, Mueller has already made it clear. Look, if he'll take down Mike Flynn on lying, he will take down anybody at this point.
We were talking yesterday, and you're talking about, you know, especially over the last 2 weeks of this intensifying and so forth. What has been happening over the last 2 weeks? What have we seen over the last 2 weeks?
Well, people are trying to discredit Mueller and the investigation and talk of the need for a purge, right, inside the FBI.
Right, but what are they worried about?
A lot. You know, I think they're taking their cues from the White House, and that's why the Trump interview last night was a little weird, because I think there's been an orchestrated effort, and it's actually working. Public confidence in the Mueller investigation among Republicans
Among Republicans. And what they're doing is they're framing the battlefield, is what we call this. They're creating a counter-narrative in order to discredit anything, because for them to do this, it means it's already in the Oval Office. They know they're coming after Pence and Trump. They know individuals who were there that could talk will implicate them. Otherwise, why would you do it? It's a sign of guilt of consciousness.
You would do it because you're afraid you're going to lose a primary. And you're afraid that if you don't do this and get out ahead, you know, Bannon or Trump or somebody else will find somebody else who will defeat you in a primary election.
Well, thus we get exquisite presidential leadership, the president I know and love, and all the effusive phrase that came out after the tax bill was signed. Mm-hmm. These are Republicans who know that there is credible evidence leading to the White House. That's your theory?
Yes, because what they see is they already see that the president is exposed on multiple fronts. When you say we should dismantle the FBI and fire all senior staff, that is the ultimate statement of obstruction of justice.
Yeah. Andrew McCabe. Jody, your point, though, what's changed lately, remember a few weeks ago how they overreacted to the fact that Mueller has the emails from the transition period.
Right.
They
right.
didn't expect that. And there were probably the most valuable batch of emails. Their guard is down. They don't think it's disclosable. There was a different tempo when that was revealed.
So I always try to get inside their heads. That's the easiest thing for me to do. I mean, that's what I like to do. You get inside Hope Hicks' head and you say, all right, if I don't tell the truth, I'm perjuring myself. Mm-hmm. And if I perjure myself, that's the way they get you. But on the other hand, the word has come down to me. I'm just making this up because I don't know it's the case. The word has come down to me. Don't worry. If it happens, you'll be pardoned. And we'll take care of you on that. So then you go to each of these people making the most momentous decisions of their lives.
That's why they need their own independent lawyers.
They all do.
But remember, Trump offered to pay for lawyers his staff.
Yeah, the RNC also.
I don't know where that all ended up, but Hope Hicks and
same way as charitable donations end up.
But if they don't have an independent lawyer who's fiercely just looking out for their own interest, I think the response may be different.
Well, I'll tell you right now, Hope Hicks, her activities occurred at Andrews Air Force Base. Even though it's a federal facility, she could be charged with state laws in the state of Maryland. And I think Mueller has all had that all teed up from the very beginning. But I think principally because this started as a hunt for U.S. citizens in conspiracy with Russian spies, okay, which is the baseline of this entire activity, these people have to have to determine whether they're going Benedict Arnold or whether they're going to protect Trump at all costs, even if they go to jail.
So, okay, parse for me, gang, if you will, what it is that that the president is now, or Trump, as we sometimes call him, has in mind when he talks about his confidence in Mueller. What is he trying to put over?
That he's not the one pushing to get rid of him, that it's others, operatives working for him. He says this all the time. A lot of people are upset. You know, many people have told me they're angry about this.
Not me.
Because I didn't do anything. I'm cool. But a lot of people are upset about this.
This is right up there with Trump's statement about Frederick Douglass.
What,
where he said, Frederick Douglass, you know, you're going to be well known in Missouri. You know, I mean... He plays this semantics game, which you just spelled out very well here, in which he's doing reverse psychology to appear that he's the good guy. His entire life has been that. My friend Tim O'Brien, who wrote the book Trump Nation, shows that all the time. He tries to get out ahead of it and show that he's the good guy, and then he's forced to make some awful decision. It will not work in this case.
Jeb Bush called it the chaos campaign, and we now have the chaos presidency.
Yeah. He predicted.
It's exhausting. He's a chaos agent. The real risk here is what I liked about the Vox article is it gives us the compilation of the year. You look at any set of issues, it's so much terrible information and facts, and the real risk here is people tune out.
No, the real risk here is, and let me put my national security hat on, is that he decides to make the ultimate game change, and that is to detonate a nuclear weapon in North Korea.
Yeah, I want to just say something about what Judith just said. I know that I talk to all these people who tell me I don't listen to the radio and I don't watch television anymore. Mm-hmm. I can't stand it anymore. Mm-hmm. I just won't do it anymore. That's dangerous.
Yeah. That works to Trump's advantage.
Yes, it's a real risk.
Nuance that we go over here and parse every word. Most people that I speak to have no idea what we're talking about.
No, this is history. And you should this is real history playing out in front of us. Mm-hmm. And you want to be in on the know. I mean, you know, for anybody who knows the name Judge John Sirica or John Dean, any of the people involved in Watergate, this is going to eclipse it by an order of magnitude. You want to watch this game because your life is now being affected.
There's still one element that I see missing that from Watergate and now, and that is the party of the president standing up.
Right.
Anybody in the party of the president standing up. There's not one but Ryan, McConnell, Orrin Hatch, even John McCain, who's getting all this, you know, praise. Mm. I don't think he's going to come back, first of all. I think we're underplaying his illness. But he also passed the tax bill. He's also on Trump's side a lot, too. There's nobody standing up and saying
Flake wrote a
this
book and
dangerous.
Then votes with Trump.
Yeah. So. Well, okay.
Mm-hmm. I see.
Corker, Bob Corker. Corker, like, ruins his own reputation now, is prostituting himself to take over for Rex Tillerson.
And those guys will tell you that all of their colleagues hate Trump's guts,
privately.
But they won't do anything about it.
My prediction is that this is the year where they will have to choose which side of history they are on.
It's a great Pete Seeger song. Which side are you on?
Again, this thing started as a spy hunt, and when the information starts coming out about where this really originated, people will have to decide whether they stand for the nation or for themselves or for the president.
All right, we have to take a break.
Oh, I hate when you do that.
Well, we have people and they pay money and we have to, you know.
We'll be back.
It's corporate culture again. They still get to interrupt anytime they want.
We have letters we have to get to.
Oh,
watch me pull a rabbit out of my hat.
All right. Yeah. We'll be right back.
Come all of you good workers, good news to you I'll tell of how the good old Union has come in here to dwell.
Which side are you on? Which side are you on?
My daddy was a miner and I'm a miner's son, and I'll stick with the Union till every battle's won.
Which side are you on? Which side are you on?
They say in Harlan County there are no neutrals there. You'll either be a Union man or a thug for J.H. Blair.
Which side are you on? Which side are you on?
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. We only have a few minutes before we take a break up at the top of the hour, so let's go to some letters and get those in.
And before we do, Joe, may I just say that Malcolm Nance has just made the supreme offer. He says that he and his wife will, if you want to give $5,000 right now into the lockbox, he will have you over for dinner. Is that right, Malcolm?
Did yeah, I we'll do roundtable at my palatial
right.
mansion.
Let me just let the front office know that, so when people call, they know what they're talking about.
Yeah, okay, good. Okay. While you're doing that, I'll start reading some letters. Dear panel, first have a happy, healthy new year and a happy birthday, Joe. Trump said throughout the election it was a rigged election. Was he punking us? It was rigged, and how can the GOP escape historical blame for this attack on democracy? Yet, yes, call it a conspiracy from now on and save our country. And that's from Deborah. And morning panel, says Melissa. Frankly, firstly, so happy to hear Rosemary again. Best
Thank
Christmas
you.
Present ever. Quick question from Malcolm. When do you think we'll see a push to investigate the left in the conspiracy? I find it odd that Sanders' camp under Devane stumbled upon a glitch, and we were able to access HRC's donor data.
No, I don't think the Sanders campaign had anything to do with it. I've been looking into this really deeply. But Jill Stein, on the other hand.
What was that?
You know, the old KGB playbook. Used to be that you would bring your fellow travelers, that's what they would call ideological soulmates, yeah. with you, and they would always curry the left, but they never trusted them, the extreme left,
yeah.
like socialists and communists. Yeah. And funny enough, American Greens, who were rabidly anti-Hillary Clinton. What I find really ironic is just before the election, the Russian Green Party begged Jill Stein to not split the vote. Against Hillary Clinton, because this is what Putin was doing, and she took the votes away.
I have to interrupt. I need two clarifications.
Yeah,
we're going crazy in the front office. One, how many people can come for a dinner?
We actually
meaning how many people can come if one person wins, then how many people can they bring with them?
That's a good question. I think we're gonna have to work that out.
You
because
say a party of four?
Well, we have a dining room table of 14.
You don't want that.
So no.
Let's say a party of four.
A party of four. Okay. Alan, you make the decision and let me know if you're coming.
Party of four.
And then how many do you want to do? What's the ultimate number that you want to do?
Are we engineering this out on
yeah,
radio?
We are. We're doing it. so why don't we put a
we'll
max?
Figure it out. Yeah, and
we'll see. People. Then I want to know. I don't because we yeah, have yeah. more than one person. So is like five good? We say five.
Five's
separate
a lot.
Dinners?
Sure.
Five's a lot. Why don't we say four? Why don't we say four and protect Malcolm
four
a little bit?
Four separate dinners?
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. You just missed two of them this week.
All
right. I'll go back on. I'll go back.
We'll bring all the roundtable crew.
Do you think they're listening to us?
You all have to come eat at my house.
Do you think they're listening to us?
Oh, they're listening. No, okay. But they're on the phone.
So say four.
Okay.
Wow.
No. We could bring all you guys to my house for dinner, plus the four people.
Yeah, do we all have to give $5,000 to do that?
No.
Yes. Okay. wait. Here comes
Spy Museum at Dinner of the Spy.
Here comes Chris. What a hoot to hear seasoned journalists who have lived through CIA lies and machinations in Vietnam, Chile, Iran, Contra, WMDs, etc., now citing U.S. negligence sources do what they do, take down a sitting president. Not all progressives in your audience are dupes for the Democratic National Committee, who started the Russian witch hunt when WikiLeaks got the goods on Podesta and the DNC. There remains no evidence of collusion. Kushner and Flynn were lobbying Russia on behalf of Israel. Do your homework. Please, and that's from Chris.
What?
Thanks for sharing.
Next. Thank you. Hello, panel. So great to hear Rosemary Wells. She's actually here for the holidays, and all of you, including Teresa Bourgeois in absentia, of course. Just want to say thank you because, as Joe called it correctly, we couldn't have gotten through this dumpster fire of a year without WAMC. 2000, and I really appreciate that from Barbara in High Falls. 2018 will be the year of unwinding of Trump. Most people didn't believe that Nixon knew about Watergate until he resigned, and the core Republicans still didn't acknowledge his wrongdoing. So it will go with this criminal, despite the denials and lying in the part of the White House. Most people cannot believe that Trump really knew about the Russia connection. It's weird, but part of an American belief system, even in these times. Happy New Year to all of you, and Barbara in High Fall.
You know, those
Happy
two
New
letters
Year.
Are in such, they're so polar opposites. It makes me wonder what people like Chris would accept as evidence. Is it a tape such as we had with Nixon on Watergate, where he was discussing his that the only thing that constitutes evidence?
Or if you got two people saying, yes, I talked to the president about it, or he knew about it, whether that would do it in any case. In other words, there will be people who will absolutely not believe anything.
Well, this is not on Russia, but we all were treated to the Access Hollywood tapes.
Yeah,
exactly. We heard
no one believes that was
him,
just locker room.
People said locker room talk. They just dismissed it.
So again, it goes back to what is the evidence? I don't think it exists. I think it's something mythical.
Well, no, I think you make a very good point. I tried to make it earlier in the conversation today that, you know, that with John Dean, it was one thing. With the tapes, it was something. But I think you're going to need something very substantial here.
We don't know Robert Mueller has, but if
you
anyone
don't,
can
and
find it, it's him.
John Dean, who's a friend of mine, who I give speeches with, you know, when we discuss this, it's very simple. Based on what we know right now, whether you believe it or not, if the evidence comes up on the fundamentals of how this investigation started, you're going to start using the word treason. Because that's all there could be.
Well, that's
any conspiracy with Russia, rhetorical treason, by the way, not legal treason. We're not at war with Russia. But that's the word that's going to come to your mind. And that's the word that many of us have been fighting not to say, but the evidence is pointing in that direction. That's Americans conspired with a foreign power to engineer our elections.
Michael says, testimony after pardoning, after someone has been pardoned and can no longer be prosecuted for crime, can they then be compelled to testify without being able to plead the Fifth Amendment? It's complicated. I think I've heard that they can be. But I'm not being a lawyer. I wouldn't want to. Yeah.
The pardon only covers the crime of that individual, not the words and truthiness of that individual.
WAMC's Morning Joe. In our household, we like your Morning Joe a lot better than the other guy. Me too. And don't worry about 50, Joe. At age 50, I started a master's degree program in Scotland and changed careers. 50 seems very young to me, and that's from Judy, and it certainly seems very young to me.
Someone
took
up anti-terrorism.
Kind of seems like you lack ambition.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
Someone got a degree in anti-terrorism from St. Andrews.
And how are we doing here, Joe? Yes or no? Yes. Okay. And panel, 2017 has certainly been a most unpresidential year. My prediction for 2018, the Democrats take both houses of Congress in November, at which point Trump, who has no real set of political beliefs, will, again, switch parties before they take office in a misguided attempt to avoid an impeachment, which was never going to happen. Happy New Year, and that's from Jim in Montgomery.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we will have more of this. We want to talk about the year in climate change. We also want to, it's been 100 days since
Maria
hit Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands, so we'll talk about that as well. But first, news with our good friend Ray Graff. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. There we go. I can actually say the word panel discussion for this Friday morning. It's the 29th of December, and as we mentioned, our last show of calendar year 2017.
No.
I know you won't.
We could come in Saturday and do another.
Let's come back another year from now.
That's right. We'll come back another year. So Alan Chartok is here. Judith Enck, Malcolm Nance, and Rosemary Armeo. We welcome your letters. Panel at WAMC.org. As I mentioned right here, coming into the break, we have we're kind of talking about year-end stuff today, but also talking about the news as well. Today marks the 100th day since Hurricane Maria slammed into both Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands. I was listening to a story this morning coming in of talking about that pretty much any deadline, any date, any thought of what of sort of semblance of normal coming back in Puerto Rico is really off the table.
Mm-hmm.
There's no sort of sense as to when any of this can be resolved. It's still very, very dire.
50% power. Still out on the island,
yeah.
I understand.
Yeah, actually, I think a little more than that.
Wow.
So when Maria, remember, Irma was 115 days ago today.
Right.
Irma didn't affect Puerto Rico that much, except a lot of people lost power. So they've been out for 115 days, Maria 100 days today. And At the time, the governors of both territories said, we'll have power back by Christmas. And I thought, I don't know. I don't think that's going to work. Now they're looking at maybe April or May for most of Puerto Rico to be back. And the devastation is tremendous. And so the president's tweet last night on climate change was really reprehensible. You know, cold weather, we need some good old climate change. Obviously, there's a difference.
Some global warming,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. There's a difference between weather and climate. Weather is a few days, a few weeks. Yes, it's cold outside, Mr. President. Climate is more long-term in the trend. And this year is on track to be the third hottest year on record.
And let's not forget California.
Yeah, wildfires in California, 6 major hurricanes this year. Climate change doesn't cause the hurricanes. It makes them more intense.
Right.
People are really suffering in two U.S. territories.
I have two questions for you. Mm-hmm. And I'm so happy that you're here because I said, I'll go to the expert on this. One is there's a new tax law now, and it taxes Puerto Rico as if it were a foreign country. What impact will that have on restoration?
Oh, my gosh. Right? Let's do that one first.
Okay.
This is devastating. I mean, first, the hurricanes hit, and for whatever reason, the new dreadful tax law says that anything exported from Puerto Rico has a 21% surcharge. 21% surcharge. It is insane.
Why? What's the rationale?
The only thing I could think of, and I'm just speculating, is the major export out of Puerto Rico is pharmaceuticals.
Oh.
Maybe other pharmaceutical companies wanted to give them a disadvantage. The San Juan mayor, who I love, Carmen Yulín, a fellow nasty woman, she said that new fee will have a more devastating impact on the economy of Puerto Rico than even the hurricanes.
Wow.
So I mean, how Congress could do that at this moment is beyond me.
You know, this was an opportunity for President Trump to literally step up and be a hero and a leader. You know, he could have flown down, he could have mobilized all the combat engineers of all the National Guard units to get down there, restore that island, and take it away, you know, politically from the opposing party. And what he's done now is he has guaranteed that Florida is going to become a blue state.
It's part of a campaign that affects far more than Puerto Rico.
Right.
We talked yesterday about how haphazard it was that they put this tax law in effect and the effect it would have on New York and New Jersey and California, blue states. Perhaps we were wrong, and it was really well thought out.
Yes.
Part of a campaign to punish those who did not vote the right way. Puerto Rico's in that, and this tax law punishes all of us who were so stupid as to vote the wrong way.
I think you're absolutely right, because it disproportionately taxes the blue states.
Correct.
And transfers that money to red states. And that's engineering, you know, political engineering.
Yeah.
There is a chance to get rid of it. You know, there is a chance to, you know, re-engineer this next year with the midterm elections. You could run on repeal and replace.
Mm-hmm.
And I know right now we just made a massive tax payment yesterday to get before next year future.
He may still get you with that. The IRS could still cap the payment, and states may be returning money, which would be an extra burden. So I'm not convinced. I think maybe a better way would be to put that massive payment into retirement programs that they can't touch. But that's one thing. My second question, Judith, is do we know what the coming year in hurricane predictions look like? If they get hit again, if Florida gets hit again on top before the repairs are finished
last year,
that would be disastrous.
That's a great point, and that's why I've been working tirelessly and to date ineffectively to try to get Congress to direct FEMA to rebuild the electricity grid in a way that's fundamentally different and doesn't come tumbling down. What's happening today in Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands is the Army Corps of Engineers is putting up the old grid.
Yeah.
So the next hurricane that hits, we're going to go through this all over again. Now, they're talking about resiliency. But if you follow the money, the federal dollars are going toward, you know, FEMA actually has a policy. They just put back up what was damaged before the storm, and the federal government is not recognizing the reality of climate change, and I've spoken to lots of people in the Caribbean who are really worried that this is their new normal every hurricane season. And again, there's always been hurricanes in the Caribbean, but not this ferocious. The warm water temperature makes the storm more intense. And so there are a lot of people trying to decide, do we stay, do we go? A lot of people have left Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands. A lot of families are separated. A lot of men stayed behind, and women and children went to Florida or New York, and their plan is to stay for the school year. So it's really ripping at the social fabric of those communities. And I honestly think President Trump goes weeks without even thinking of the suffering that's going on. And I would argue that if Obama was in office, the response to these hurricanes would have been dramatically different.
Well, you know, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, it just plays to the populations of which Donald Trump has concern for, and he has no concern for Pete. I don't even think, according to some analysts, that he understood Puerto Ricans were U.S. citizens.
Yeah, he didn't. He's that island out in the ocean, lots of water.
He had a golf course in Puerto Rico that went bankrupt, by the way. So he kind of knew a little bit.
One of the most disgraceful things he's done has been to marginalize the seriousness of that storm. He says it's not a real catastrophe like Katrina where 1,000 people died. What's the death toll now?
Right. This is Trump's Katrina.
Yeah.
They say now that they've reanalyzed the mortuary statistics, it's pushing 1,000.
Yeah.
Right.
This is Trump's Katrina, and this
was going to stay
with him.
And it wasn't the government who came up with that number. It was reporters, by the way, CNN investigative reporters who actually looked at and death reports.
Loss of infrastructure and power killed people.
Yeah. So, and still is. Elderly people living without power. It's still going on. There's also quite an uptick in suicides in Puerto Rico. I've spoken to friends recently over the holidays. People are really depressed because they don't see a light at the end of the tunnel.
Shameful. You know, I mean, I've helped build, while I was in Iraq, we helped rebuild thousands of schoolhouses in that place with tens of billions of dollars flowing in unlimited, and that we wouldn't do that to a U.S. territory with U.S. citizens is just disgraceful.
You know, I was just thinking about something you said, Judith, and the way to appreciate the suffering you just mentioned is to put yourself in that place and say, okay, what would happen if I hadn't had any electricity for 6 months or 7 months? What would that, no refrigeration, you know.
No clean drinking water.
Right.
Sewage treatment plants are not operating.
So
people
if
are
we think
sick.
Individually, that really helps us understand this.
Narcissists don't do that.
Yeah, but if your first thought is I'll fly to my resort in Bedford, New Jersey, and you know, or I'll go out to Scotland and shoot some at St. A's, I mean, that's... Yeah. You have no empathy if none of this means anything to you.
I was actually talking about us, not about...
Oh, we're very empathetic.
We don't have a golfer, sorry.
I just want to add that I would give money. I would support that, even without getting a tax deduction for the charity. I would do it. But who do you give the money to who could make a difference if we're simply putting it into rebuilding what's going to blow down again?
Well, to the nonprofits that are on the ground who are really doing great work.
I'll tell you, American Red Cross is... And I was at the Pentagon on 9/11.
No.
Really?
No. Not Red Cross.
They're pretty responsive.
No. I can give you names of nonprofits who are on the ground who are doing a lot more than the more established charities. There are grassroots groups in Puerto Rico who are literally running the communities with community leaders and doing a whole lot more than anyone else with virtually no money. Mm-hmm. I think when we look back at this year, there were so many terrible things out of the Trump administration, but I think his response to Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands, as history passes, will be viewed as the worst part.
I think only if
it
overthrows 3 or 4 Southern Florida congressional seats, and that's looking pretty good.
Well, there are
right
a lot
now.
Of Puerto Ricans moving to
that's
Florida.
That's what I'm saying. It's
registering.
Looking good right now.
You're right, but it's just hard to think that way, knowing just the enormous suffering that's going on.
That's what I was going to say. There is an impulse to say, okay, the people who voted for him are going to pay for that vote. And the governor of Puerto Rico, who was so supportive and backed up Trump when he came there and said all those nice things, Oh.
Done.
Yeah, well, both of those, yeah, they are. Payback. They're going to be one
term. But it
doesn't
feel good because of all the people's.
Both of those governors felt, I'm not defending their approach, but they felt like if they were even remotely critical that they wouldn't get the money they need, and they're not getting the money anyway.
That's what foreign governments are doing all over the world. Angela Merkel's trying to figure out what do you flatter, kiss his butt, what do you do to make them behave like a normal human being?
If you voted the wrong way, you're not getting humanitarian aid.
Next time, ask for support from France. And maybe Macron will be a little more responsive.
All right. Yeah. We have 5 minutes. We have some letters. Let's
Here we go. Real quickly. Robert says, the idea that Republican legislators will be concerned by how history will see their actions in the Trump debacle is ludicrous. How many people remember which congressman voted not to impeach Nixon? It's a trick question. I'm going to tell you why. There never was such a vote.
That's right. That's right.
Okay. It's all and always about self-interest. Okay.
Self-preservation.
That's right. Anthony says, test of time panel, because we live in the time of 15-second audio soundbite, will the length of the Mueller investigation hurt the outcome of its findings? Anthony.
No. Not at all. I mean,
another Trump thing that, it has to be done fast.
They expected it to be done tomorrow. Literally
Cobb said it
tomorrow.
Be done by Thanksgiving and Christmas, and now maybe by Earth Day.
Oh, no.
April
22nd. The longer this thing goes on,
the more they find.
This is, it's going to get even worse and worse. Now that they've subpoenaed Deutsche Bank's records, that record can only be compared to one thing as part of an investigatory process. His tax return.
I was going to say.
And Jared Kushner's
tax return. His was all
like
Deutsche
father,
Bank records
like son.
Were
his
also
Bank.
Brought in. So not least, happy. The longer this goes on, even more dirt's going to
this
be
This is
found.
Unkind, but at least Jared Kushner has some experience with federal penitentiaries. He knows
his
way around
does.
Visiting his father.
Daisy
Sorry.
Says, okay, great
unkind,
panel.
But satisfying.
Daisy says, great panel. Here's a note of optimism. All the great journalism coming to life in our country. Vox, Crooked Media, and of course WMC already very much alive among the many, and many started by committed journalists under the age of 40, which is even better, says Daisy. Daisy's always great.
Do you agree, young
think that
journalists?
There's been some amazing reporting led by David Fahrenthold of the Washington Post, who's a young, very talented guy, but make no mistake, journalism is very much under attack. You're seeing the seasoned and very excellent investigative reporters at the Wall Street Journal fleeing like rats from a ship because Rupert Murdoch has said we won't attack Trump. Very bad.
But the Post and the Times are doing great work. And what do you think of ProPublica?
I love ProPublica.
Yeah, me too.
It's a publicly, privately supported donor-driven journalism. But overall, there is no market that really works.
Right.
There's no business plan for journalism. So Trump's attacks, when they're economically weak, make a big difference. It's very bad.
Spig News says, dear panel, the only evidence that could be convincing is the money trail in capital letters. Everything else, tapes, videos, pictures, will be considered fake by some.
It's good that he mentions that because that is how the indictment of Paul Manafort came about. They no witnesses. They have all the actual financial documents showing each transaction. And they walked in and they were like, really? Yeah. You spent $585,000 on suits, but everything from pizza orders to multi-million-dollar security systems were paid through a bank account in Cyprus. Definition of money laundering.
Manafort's records are one thing, Trump's are another. He has given more than fair warning that if he goes after my finances, that's outside the mandate, and that ends the investigation.
Well, unfortunately,
exactly what
Mueller's
doing. Exactly.
But it's already occurred. We know it's already occurred.
That's
why
it's going to be a bumpy January.
We find out things about Mueller 3 to 4 months after they happen.
Yeah. George says, Trump said that Russia investigation makes the country look bad, in quotes. Mm-hmm. Is he trying to change the perspective? Instead of firing Mueller to save himself, he's doing it to save the country. Does he think this will make him look more like a hero than a coward? Who knows what he thinks?
He's desperate. I don't think that worked in that article.
No.
All I know is I was in London about a month ago, and I had the I wouldn't call it a pleasure, but I did visit the residence of Benedict Arnold while I was there.
Yeah. He got away with it. You know, he lived out his life there.
That's right. I still spit on it every time I go to England.
Peter says, climate. The difference between weather and climate is the same as the difference between the score and the standings. Okay.
We're the first quarter score in the final score.
And Lisa says, kissing up. Well, you're all praising Joe, and yes, I love him too, but let's not forget Alan has set an amazing standard for WMC.
We knew he was going to read this one.
Well, I got handed this. I don't choose them.
Of course. We stipulate to Alan.
Alan did awesome, and he's trained Joe. And
it's not his birthday.
That's right. You're so right, and I wish this letter had not been written. Oh, whoever is responsible for cutting the talent needs to be acknowledged. Amazing panel. Safe travels, Rosemary. And
thank
that's
you.
From Lisa in Montgomery. Thank you, Lisa.
Is she a relative?
No. No Lisa's in my family that I know of.
Sorry.
Time to take stock. All right. Well, we are we're out of time. We're out of a year. Mm-hmm. Welcome back.
Happy birthday, Joe.
Well,
happy
thank
birthday,
you very Joe. Much.
Should
thank
we sing?
You. Thank you. No, no.
No,
God.
That would go off the air.
Travel safe. So when are you coming back? What's your deal?
I'll be back in March for a while.
Okay.
So I'll be in touch. Maybe I'll come back and visit you all. Okay?
That would be lovely. Yeah, maybe. What do you have to do?
I will come back.
We have to forge a contract
an
or something?
An amazing amount of mail saying welcome back, Rosemary.
I
and
love...
of course, Malcolm, every time Malcolm comes on, somebody says he should run for Congress.
By the way, $5,000, you can have a dinner for four at Malcolm's house.
Yeah.
$5,000.
Shay Nance.
Yeah, Shay Nance.
The stock man.
1-800-323-9262 is the way to find out about that. Judith, have a lovely 2018, the start of it, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Thank you. Alan, to you. Are you around home with family, or what are you doing for
indeed,
the new year?
Indeed, I am and will be here and having a very good time.
Excellent. All right. Keep telling yourself that. All right.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to everybody. We'll be
happy
back
Happy birthday.
Here.